Hi, I'm Leanne Blaney, adventure coach, speaker, and award-winning author. Welcome to the Ignite Your Life podcast, where we are having conversations about what might be holding you back and how to move forward to achieve your dream life. Come along on a journey and set yourself up by having freedom in your choices, becoming grounded and centered, and learn how to speak from the heart. For more information, go to leanneblaney.com. Let's ignite your life. Having spent almost 30 years in the construction industry, Becky Perroz has demonstrated her unique leadership abilities on some of the most demanding projects in the public and private sectors. As a successful engineer and industry-leading project manager, she's a director in three companies and a global professional mentor. With involvement in graduate training programs and in-house workshops for many of her employers and clients, Becky's formal training as performance coach allows her to generate learning outcomes that create lasting change. Hi, Becky. Welcome to the Ignite Your Life podcast.
Hi, Leanne. Thanks for having me.
You're really welcome. I'm really excited today to talk about our theme of Inner Gladiator. So, but first, just let the listeners know a little bit about yourself, what you actually do and how you've got to here.
Okay. Well, I don't have a 30-second pitch because it doesn't fit into 30 seconds.
That's fine.
I'm still practicing. But I started out life as an engineer, and I was working as a draftsperson to pay for that degree after I graduated school. And rapidly found out that those two things actually don't go together. They're quite separate in the industry. But in the 30 years I've been working in construction, it's certainly given me far more knowledge and leverage to have done a wide variety of things like that. And then I rapidly found out that engineering wasn't quite for me. But I loved construction. I loved the industry. The idea of taking a piece of earth and turning it into a high rise or a bridge or a, you know, some sort of function that then people went and used was exciting. So as you can imagine, back then, there were very few other women. And so my career has kind of progressed meteorically because I was, I guess, a forerunner. So I've worked with men who've seen my capabilities and advanced me very quickly. And I've worked with men who have seen my capabilities and taking the opportunity to not advance me at all. And, you know, those things happen, I think, in every career. But it's been obviously an amazing challenge over 30 years to become a leader, an award-winning project manager. And I've run and been involved in running some of the biggest landmark projects in Queensland for Australia and just outside of Queensland too, in the Northern Territory. So the big part of that was, though, at 18, I was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis. A very chronic, crippling form of it, and told I'd been in a wheelchair by the time I was 24. And I'm now in my 40s and still working and walking to the great surprise of my doctors. So that's probably the journey through my mindset. Doing that and being in a job and an industry that wasn't welcoming has given me the greatest challenges, but also the greatest successes I could possibly have hoped for. And both things have probably driven me to never, ever listen to what anyone else has to say in terms of advice and find my own way. And that's accumulated in the last couple of years writing. I've contributed to about 12 anthologies published in the US. And then I put together my own book and sort of captured those things in thoughts. Because it's called The Words of Beck, because I couldn't really come up with a better title. And I am thinking of maybe rearranging that and creating a little bit more sort of workbooks with the information in there. Because during that, I also studied to be a coach. So life coach, I don't really like that phrase. I understand it works for some people, but I'm not a life coach, but I like to think of myself as maybe a performance or a success coach, because all those skills I used in my own career and in my own management, and that's a lot of what I talk about in my book, is how that actually works, not the sort of the, you know, believe in yourself and say affirmation sort of style, because while they have their place, if you don't actually know what belief in yourself looks like, and my childhood never gave me those skills or understanding, then it's really hard to move from that to anything else. And so I really wanted to break down what that process was for people, and that's kind of encapsulated in my book. And then that, of course, has led to some other amazing things, like being a cover girl in a magazine, which is nowhere in my list of things I wanted to achieve on a bucket list. But it's been a really powerful experience. And then culminating in winning an award just a couple of months ago for the 30 years of my service and recognition through NAWIC, which is the National Association for Women in Construction. That was their top honours for Queensland for contribution to the industry. I'm the Crystal Vision Award for this year for the state. So, as you can imagine, that encompasses a lot more than just those few details, and obviously a lot of overcoming in many ways.
Yeah, and it sounds like being a cover girl was quite an experience for you.
It was random. It was a great opportunity, and I kind of had a, I've always had a very sure, why not kind of attitude. I did some comedy courses, and I was on stage and did 5 minutes of comedy, and it's always, I do these things and say, yes, I'm going to do it. And then I have, I guess, buyer's regret and go, oh my God, what have I done? And so the cover girl for me was a fantastic idea, and I loved it. And I thought, that's just, it's kind of nice to do, to be recognized. But then when the magazine came out, every time I logged on Facebook, my face was there. That was actually quite confronting for me. And I don't know why, but I hadn't actually thought of that when I sort of went, yeah, let's do this for the cover girl. So that was interesting. My process around how I felt about that and how I reacted to it was an interesting journey for me. Just, another one in the list of many journeys I've had. But it was, yeah, it was for someone who's never really cared too much about how she looks and that sort of status in society. It was quite a visceral shock to see my face everywhere. And even now when I see the magazine, I'm like, oh, that's me. That's weird. But I wouldn't have missed it for the world. And it's opened up some other amazing opportunities, which I'm really, really pleased about.
Yeah, I love it. Well, thank you for sharing your story with us. And I think with all the things and experience that you've done, that would lead us quite nicely into our theme for today of Inner Gladiator. So what I might get you to do is explain to us what Inner Gladiator means to you.
Okay, so when I was kind of looking at how do I change my market space, so obviously I've been in the service industry and I've leveraged my skills and my talent and my qualifications, but now I'm sort of in a place where I don't want to do 16 hours a day. I'm a bit old for that, but I love the industry. So I thought about, and with the help of a mentor, discovered the attachment to mentoring and coaching young women and other young leaders in the industry. And I've had some great success doing that informally through my roles and things like that. So I really wanted to embrace doing that. And obviously, when it comes to marketing, you need kind of an identity and a catchphrase and a hashtag and all those things. So, but there was nothing out there I wanted to use, empowerment and women empowering women and successful women and boss babes and all that kind of stuff. I feel has been done to death, and it's not really me either. But I really wanted to talk about women's power. So not empowerment, but the power that each woman holds to create life, in a very real sense, but then also in a more, I guess, esoteric sense of we are very creative and we communicate and we create connections. And I think we do that better in some ways than men. And I've had 30 years of experiencing men do that, and not so much of the women. So I needed something that kind of determined who I was, and I suppose took me outside of the normal market that I'd be operating in. And so, hashtagging that around and brainstorming and writing up, power words and things like that, it was kind of, I came down to the word gladiator, and not in the, slash kill burn kind of style, but in that warrior who was at the top of their game, who was the best of the best, who trained and honed and overcame. I wanted to really embody that. And so that's how Gladiator came about. And it's not about the, I suppose, the war externally. It's about the war we women fight internally, that imposter syndrome, and that, don't be too bright, too smart, too blonde, too loud. All of those things that society says we shouldn't do, I really wanted to push up against that and go, well, I have, and I'm going to continue, and I want to empower other women to do that. And so that's where that inner gladiator came, that fierce fighting spirit that women have. No matter how gentle and feminine they are, it takes a lot of spirit to be a mother and to give birth. And I haven't experienced that myself, but I have friends who have, and I'm amazed at what they go through. And no matter how soft as a woman you may be, in order to do that, you have to be a warrior. You have to fight not only for your life, but for the life inside you. So it's that sort of spirit that I try to embody in that phrase of inner gladiator. So it doesn't have to be a, a mouthy, big personality like I am. It can be a very soft and gentle personality, but inside is a steel core that's unbreakable and will overcome no matter what.
Yeah, I love that. I love it. So you were talking, about, bringing that inner gladiator out. What are you actually seeing that society has, done to women, that they're not showing their inner gladiator, that they're not being proudly these warrior women out in society? What are you actually seeing, how that affects them in general or in business?
Well, I think it's the same in general and in business. The messages we've received since, beyond time, but really, I suppose, the 1950s, that marketing that took the woman, the nice little housewife who gets the slippers and puts the food on the table and is quiet and demure and does everything for the husband. And there are some women who are really good at that and they love that, and I don't mean to take away from them, but it's that picture that we're sold that that's the perfect woman. And then in the 80s, the power woman with the big shoulder pads and the ball busting, to forgive my French, kind of came in, and then we got told we could have both. And yes, we can, but it's about being who we want to be and expressing it without the fear of judgment. And there's a lot of judgment out there. And I think that's the root cause of it. I gave a talk a couple of years ago to a group of women in the industry. And I started it with all the things we're told, too much, too loud, too blonde, too thin, too fat, too bold, too smart assed, too smart mouthed, too meek, too mild, too quiet, smile more. We're all given these messages in our daily lives, in our advertising. I see advertising for clothing at the moment. It's like, every woman deserves to be beautiful. And I just, yes, they do, but at the same time, we're looking at this external beauty as a value that's far in excess of what it's actually worth, because all beauty fades. And we're not valuing the inner beauty that so many women have but can't be seen because they're too much of something, or they're too little of something, or they're not fitting in a box. So I kind of wanted to kick the box. I suppose at the base of me is like, every woman has the right to do what she wants, feel the way she wants to feel, be safe and be happy and achieve all that she can achieve, just like the men do. And so that's what I see society doing, is just any woman who puts herself out there is dragged down by someone, whether it's other women, whether it's men, whether it's, trolls who are anonymous in the world of cyberspace. There's always someone willing to say, you can't do that. And I inspired a young woman the other day by kind of telling her that if anyone says you can't do it, prove them wrong. And that pretty much, when I look back after I sort of came to all this realization, is pretty much my whole career and my whole life. I was told at 18 I can't walk beyond 24, 45, and I'm still walking. I was told I couldn't live beyond 40 because the disease would probably kill me, 45, and still living. I was told I can't be successful in this industry because the men won't let me. I've won awards. I've, run $500 million projects. I've built teams. I've, won awards for companies. I've put together certifications in, miraculous amounts of time. So everything that people have told me I can't do, I've kind of taken as a challenge and gone, well, you hold my beer, I'll be over here achieving that while you watch. If someone says you can't do it twice and take photos. All of those things that, are now kind of memes, I was doing 30, 20 years ago when I didn't know that I couldn't, because I refused to listen to those messages. So I think that's really the core of what I want women to know, is that you can do anything you want to. You just need to be in the right place with the right support to make it happen.
So with all this pressure that's been on women, and quite often they've had the mask up, they're trying to be, a certain persona or superwoman or whatever it is, super mum. Do you find there's a lot more like anxiety out there, depression, or people just living really small lives because they're too scared to bring out that inner gladiator, to be their real person, like to be their real self?
Yes, absolutely. And I think that's probably why I want to push up against it so much, because I do see so many women. Some of my friends I've watched go through that journey of just accepting what they were given because they didn't think they deserved more. And no one was telling them they deserved more. There aren't a lot of voices out there saying, you can do this, go and get it. There are more voices than there were 30 years ago. But even in my industry now, there are still women going, oh, but men do the hard jobs. Oh, no, that's a whole other conversation. But no one stops and kind of goes, why? And I was always a why person. Why? You can't do it. Why? Because I said so. Well, that's not enough, good enough reason. And it never was for me. Whereas so many people stop at that point and you know, and I know when it comes back to being accepted, being loved, being surrounded by people who will make you feel like you belong. But see, I never belonged from the moment I was born, and my father made that very clear. So I never had that fear because I was living that every day. And I think that's the big thing I can bring to the coaching and the mentoring is that it doesn't matter if you don't belong. If you be yourself, you will find other people who will be attracted to that, and you will make your own tribe, your own group, your own circle, whatever your word is. And you will find people who are attracted to the real you. You will not be alone in this journey. But because of this fear and all of society's commentary on it, people buy into the mythology of who they should be to be accepted. You know, even the beautiful soccer mums kind of, you know, that soccer mum kind of mythology, and the one who's beautiful, she's not accepted just as much as someone like me who's not worried about beauty and wears boots and swears a lot. Because, you know, she might steal their husbands because she always looks glamorous, so therefore she must have a perfect life. And I don't think women understand that that woman probably spends 3 hours a day trying to look like that in order to not be judged and then is judged anyway. And that's so unfair. And it's so frustrating that we do this to ourselves and then we allow other people to do it to us. And we just perpetuate this place of not good enough. And then we have imposter syndrome as well. If we ever decide to be good enough, you know, our own inner voice tells us because it's been listening to all these other voices. And we're just. I don't know how we've managed to stay strong over the last, you know, so many years to be able to still go, you know what, I'm going to. And I think there needs to be more women to show our younger generations that we can do this.
And if there's say a woman out there who thinks, okay, I've got that stirring, I want to change, I'm not happy, I want to do something about my life, how would you suggest us, or what are some of the things that you would suggest that they can bring out that inner gladiator or just empower themselves or get their power back just a little bit even?
So many things. First thing is just do it. Stop listening to everyone else and listen to what you want and just do it. If you're going to do that, research, learn, read books, Google, and don't just Google and look at the first page. Look at the weird pages, three or four in. Look at alternative point of views and make up your own mind. You know, I look at extreme points of view all the time to see not only what people are saying, but also for me to figure out where I fit in between those two extremes. Don't ask permission is probably one of the strongest ones. Just do it. Now, that's a very broad statement. Obviously, if you're married and you've got kids, there's lots of things around that that can be boundaries. But if you really want it, you will make it work and you'll find a way to make it work. And you never know, you might be a forerunner and forge a path for other women who want the same thing, but also haven't been able to take that step. So one of the things, obviously, read my book. That's a bit of a plug. But, you know, read bios. Read Katharine Hepburn. Like, that lady was a powerful, powerful creature who didn't take no for an answer. I just read recently that they tried to stop her from wearing pants because it wasn't ladylike, and they actually took them away from her. So she walked around for days in her underpants until they gave them back. And I'm like, that is my kind of woman. You know, so read those stories. Nancy Wake, who was an Australian spy who was saving men's lives in, I think it's World War II, and forgive me if I get that wrong. Like, go and find those women who aren't fitting the mold and read about them and let them inspire you and let them tell you that they did it no matter what they were told and they made it work. So just keep looking for the evidence that you need to make it work and ignore the evidence that says you can't.
Yeah, I love it. Thank you for that. I'm sure there's lots of great tips there. So when a woman has actually started doing all this, started changing their lives, taking on the power themselves, what do you see different in their lives? How you see them living differently?
Oh, they're happier for a start. They're not spending so much energy on is this right? Is this okay? Am I going to be loved? They free up a lot of emotional energy and potentially a lot of physical energy by not worrying and not expending all these thoughts on what if, what if, what if, what if, what if. So that's probably the first thing. And that then leads into like weight being lifted, you know, metaphorically off your shoulders, but also potentially off your own body, because a lot of women do use weight and there's plenty of studies out there as a barrier between them and the world. And I get that. I've done that myself. I think too is they're less likely to take no for an answer. And so they will push up against the boundaries, whether self-created or externally created, and start to expand their lives. They have experiences that they never thought they could, and then realize they want more of that. So it gives them a real hunger to keep going along that path. And yes, there's setbacks, but I kind of go, setbacks are people telling you that you're actually on the right path. Because if people are really pushing back against you saying no and standing up for yourself and doing what you want to do, then you need to look at what's in it for them, because it serves them for you to stay the same. So if people are really resisting, that to me can actually be a sign that you're doing really well and trying to change your life, and you're going to be successful. What else can I see as benefits? I just freedom, just freedom from a lot of what society places on us and superficial boundaries that when you kick the boundary a little bit, don't actually exist and fall over.
I know with a lot of my clients that I'm seeing, when they do start living their own lives and taking back that power for themselves, they actually do have a different energy about them, and they go out and do all this exciting stuff, and there's more smiles. Like even just the smiling, I see so much lot more lightness out there.
Yep, I was about to say, laughter, I think, is the biggest thing. Think about when was the last time you laughed? And if it wasn't within the last 24 hours, there's something not quite working in your life, because a day without laughter is a day wasted, as far as I'm concerned.
I
And I
agree.
get, sometimes stuff happens in a really big way and there's no way you're laughing and you're probably crying. That's okay too. But if your laughter is missing in your life, then that means that your life can do with some cleaning up. And yeah, that lightness, that energy change, that's what I talk about with that relief and that weight gone. It's just there's less care about what doesn't matter, and you can put so much more energy into what does matter. And it makes it easier too to not have that dross around you, whatever that looks like.
Yeah, definitely. Well, Becky, thank you so much for talking with us today. I'm loving what you're saying, and yes, we could always talk more about this. I love this topic, and I love how you explain it and what you're doing out there. So thank you so much. Now, if somebody wants to follow you, contact you, or stalk you, where's the best place to go?
Okay, so I've got a couple of Facebook pages, but my main tag is Words of Bec with BEK. Again, I like to stand out, so I didn't do the C or the CK. So Words of Bec, BEK. That's my handle on Insta. That's my web page with the W's and the .com.au at the end. You'll find my writer's page is also Words of Bec on Facebook. But connect with me on Facebook as my name, Becky Bec Star Perroz. And I'm always happy to talk and discuss. And like you, this is one of my favorite topics. And many, many nights with many, many glasses of wine or Jack Daniels. There's another way to get my attention, Jack Daniels. But yeah, I really want to connect with the women out there who don't feel they fit in and just want someone to tell them that they can do it and they don't have to fit in. That's my kind of lady that, I'm looking for and I want to work with and really want to empower, because they're the ladies who make the waves and I'm all about the waves.
Yeah, love it. All right. Well, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Leanne.
Igniters, so many takeaways about your inner gladiator here from Becky. She says, a day without laughter is a day wasted. I so agree. If you want to contact Becky, go to her Facebook page, Words of Bec, BEK. For living that life of adventure, go to my website, www.leanneblaney.com.